The book of Judges, chapter 3, reading at verse number 15. But when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. And by him the children of Israel sent a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. Now looking down at verse 20. And Ehud came unto him, and he was sitting in a summer parlor, which he had for himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto thee. And he arose out of his seat. Now, Paul's first letter to Timothy, please. 1 Timothy and chapter 1, reading at verse 15. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That will do for reading, and with the Lord's blessing. I would like to direct your attention to the words that are spoken by Ehud when he spoke to King Eglon in the deliverance of the children of Israel. He goes into the presence of the king and he says, I have a message from God unto thee. I would like to say that that would be true of every gospel preacher occupying a platform or in the open air, or wherever found. I have a message from God unto thee. I would say, first of all, it is a very solemn thing to get a message from the great God of heaven. Secondly, we would all know that a message is something that is very short and demands our attention. Some I would know that messages can be ignored and set aside. But I want to speak about a message tonight that is a very personal message and it is sent unto thee. I don't know my audience. I cannot mention you all by name. But this I am certain of, that if you are not yet saved, you are not yet born again by the Spirit of God, you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. We are very glad to see you present with us. You are the subject of many prayers of the Lord's dear people, but we would remind you, we have got a message from God unto you. I want to say that Noah got a message from God. If I come to Isaiah's prophecy, chapter 38, I see there a man who got a message from God. My Bible tells me that Noah moved with fear when he received the message from a holy God. My Bible tells me that Hezekiah, when he got the message, that he turned his face toward the wall, and he wept, and he prayed unto God. I want to say tonight that a message from God demands our attention. A message from God cannot be turned aside, and a message from God demands not only our attention, but also demands action to be taken. What is the message we have got this evening? I couldn't sum it up in any better words than the words that we have read, written by Paul to his son Timothy in the faith. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, But Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. From those words this evening and from that message, I want to bring before us three very solemn and searching truths. Do remember that the message is coming from God and from heaven itself. Leaving Ireland, I was given one or two messages to attend to on my arrival in Brazil, in the Brisbane. I want to say tonight that we trust and pray that you will give the same heed to the message and that you will attend to it. I want first of all to speak about the people that Paul is speaking about. He is speaking about sinners. And I want to bring before us three truths relative to sinners tonight. Then secondly, I want you to think about this great person that the apostle is writing about. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. No greater person can I preach about tonight. No greater person can we bring before you, and no other person would we dare to bring before you. For what reason? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The poet was right when he said, yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you unto rest. Believe in him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Not only would I preach about sinners, not only would I speak about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, but I want to speak about salvation that can be had. My dear young man or woman, or older person in this gathering, let me remind you again that salvation has been provided. Let me remind you again that salvation, it must be sought after. Not only must it be sought after, but salvation must be received. And let us remind you again that salvation brings enjoyment and peace with God. Salvation, what a precious word. Salvation, what a thief. It casts across the sinner's path a radiant heavenly beam. I have a message from God unto thee. It may well be that you have come into this building a sinner out of Christ. You can leave the building tonight a sinner, saved by grace and delivered from wrath to come. First of all, I want to speak about sinners and their condition. First of all, who are sinners? Well, I take it that everyone present in this gathering would know that every man and every woman that occupy a place in this world, whether they be rich or poor, whether they be old or young, whether they be religious or irreligious, educated or uneducated, it matters not. This Bible describes that men and women are sinners in the sight of God. We would remind you again that the Apostle Paul writing said, for there is no difference whether a man be a Jew or a Gentile, it matters not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were born into different parts of the world, and in all possibility born of different nationalities, but every one of us were born sinners into this world. Whether it be in the palace, or in the gypsy camp, or by the roadside, it matters not. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. But as a sinner tonight, I am a sinner because that Adam and Eve sinned against God in the Garden of Eden. They were driven out because of their sin and transgression, and from that day until this present moment, man in his natural condition has been born on the outside place. But I want us to remember this evening that man's condition is very serious. First of all, we are left to no doubt that sinners are lost in the sight of God. Our Bible teaches that plainly. And I would like to remind you tonight that if you are not saved, that you are lost, spiritually lost. Out in the mountains, wild and bare, and far from the tender shepherd's care. That makes gospel preaching very solemn and very sobering when we realize that all around us today are those who are not saved. And they are lost, blinded by the God of this age. Not only are sinners lost, but sinners are guilty in the sight of God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world, non-exempt, guilty before God. Matters not who they be or where they come from, they are guilty of sin in the sight of God. Thirdly, I want us to see, not only are they lost and guilty, but they are condemned already to the judgment of God. I would like us to remember this evening that the Lord Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Something more about sinners, sinners and their condition, sinners and their danger. My dear soul, if it were not that there is danger ahead, there would be no gospel meeting tonight in this place. There would be no burden and there would be no concern about you. But I want you to understand tonight that the hymn writer was right when he said, there's danger and death in delay. What are the dangers that I am in this evening? Well, I'm in the great danger. The Lord Jesus spoke about it when he said, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. I raise a warning cry tonight, and as it is appointed on a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Dead the reeds and sheaves on every hand, the old, the young, on sea, on land. Now, I was asked this afternoon about a certain gentleman who is a very prominent figure in Ulster, or the north of Ireland. I made reply that I had listened to him preaching the gospel a few short months ago. Standing around the grave of a boy of 16 years of age, who sat in a gospel meeting that we had just a few weeks earlier, I got news of this young lad who had been on the Sunday school trip, had gone in to swim in the waters at Portrush, And the young man got into trouble and was brought out dead. Wasn't it good that that young man was saved? 16 years of age. What I want to come to is this, that the preacher preached about a Christless soul. Man going out into a Christless grave. And a man going out into a Christless eternity. What in the world were passed? This night, the 12th of February, should be thy last on earth. Where, oh, where will thy soul be cast? Are you going to heaven? Is all well with your soul? If not, I beg of you, waken up to the solemn realities, time ends, and then eternity. The dangerous sinners have. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself said, I will come again. Amongst the last words that He spoke were these words, therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. I would like to warn boys and girls, men and women, the Lord is coming. I want to warn you solemnly, the saved of earth are going to heaven. If you're not saved tonight, and the Lord to come, you are going to be left and left behind. But something more, I want us to remember tonight that our Bible teaches that is why the Holy Spirit's moving. I want to quote the word tonight from Genesis chapter 6. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Oh, sinner, the Spirit is striving with thee. What if he should strive nevermore? But leave thee alone in thy darkness to dwell in sight of a heavenly shore. Those who attended the meetings of Bouval will remember that I did state that I preached that emphatically. I told you about a young man last night who visited my home. Tears running down his face, said he, will you pray that the Spirit of God will not leave me until I am saved and going to heaven? Another young man born and reared on the County Down coast, 23 years of age, began to attend our meetings. I visited him in his home. Said he, will you pray for me that the Spirit of God will not leave me until I'm saved and going to heaven? I want to tell you it's a solemn reality to be in the presence of such men. Both men are saved tonight. Both men are in assembly fellowship. I have no doubt that both men do remember us at the throne of grace and prayer. Danger the sinner and their danger, but the sinner and their hope. This is a great message tonight, dear soul, that none need perish, all can live. What is the sinner's hope this evening? God our Savior, great God of heaven, great God of all eternity, the God who has given us the air we breathe, the water we drink, that God will of all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. The sinner's hope, God will of all men to be saved, but something more, the great God of heaven has devised means that his banished be not expelled from him. Isn't that great news this evening? The great God of heaven has devised means whereby his banished be not expelled from him. What is the means that God has devised? God has opened up the way to heaven. God is interested in your salvation. I want to speak tonight about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Who is the person of Christ Jesus, says someone? Well, first of all, he is God's only Son. He was co-equal with the Father. He held the highest place above. But I want to tell you tonight, dear soul, he was willing to leave the glory, take upon himself the likeness of sinful flesh, came by way of the virgin birth into this world. And he said himself, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. What a great truth. I would like to tell you tonight that he is not only the Son of God. He is not only the one who was sent into the world. Not another man was ever sent into the world. Not even an angel was sent into the world as far as salvation was concerned. But I want to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's only Son, he was sent into the world. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. I want to speak tonight about the person of God's only Son. Throughout the scenes of time, a man amongst men, despised and rejected by the world, the outside place on every occasion, but oh how grand, he did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek, it was to save he came. How is he going to provide salvation? How is he going to save sinners from going down to hell? I want to tell you, he was willing to go all the way to the cross. It was a lonely path he trod. He said himself, we were reminded about it this morning, the foxes of holes, the birds of the air of nests, for the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, there came that moment when he went through Gethsemane's garden, through Pilate's judgment hall, delivered over to be crucified. He was led out as a lamb to the slaughter. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Oh, dear soul, tonight in the meeting, could I tell you, we have been reminded God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Let me tell you tonight, the Son, he willingly went to the cross. What happened to yonder tree? Men despised him. Men, they spat upon him. Men, they cried, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. I want to tell you tonight that he suffered at the hands of a holy God what you and I should suffer for all eternity. We do not know, we cannot tell, what pain he had to bear. But this we know, it was for us. He hung, suffered there. I want to speak about a man this evening who not only came from heaven, who not only lived in this world, but who went all the way to the cross. And I want to speak about one who bore the penalty of sin. Christ also hath once suffered for sin, just for us the unjust, to bring us to God. The prophet said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace were upon him. With his stripes we are healed. Yonder amidst all the suffering, and amidst all the darkness, and amidst all the pain, he, the Lord Jesus, took the guilty sinner's place. Israel's soul in the building tonight, not saved. Is there a young man, a young woman tonight, and you're still without Christ? Can I tell you tonight that he went all the way to the cross? There upon the tree, he took your place. He died in your stead. I want to tell you tonight, he finished the work. He gave himself a sacrifice to God. His precious blood was shed. And on the cross, he died for our sins. Not a mite was left unpaid when he our judgment bore. I was speaking to someone this afternoon. You visited the town of Omagh very recently in the north of Ireland. I had meetings in that town about 4 years ago. Young man began to attend those meetings. Night after night, sitting on my right hand side in the corner, I knew he wasn't saved. One of the brethren spoke to me and said, he must be concerned, otherwise he would not be at your meetings. One Monday night I noticed he began to sing. Following night he stayed behind. Said I, David, tell me, have you got saved? Yes, said he, at 4 o'clock on Sunday morning. Without going into long detail about the story, do you know what the young man said? I cannot tell you whether this is in the Bible or not, he said. It might only be a hymn, but he says, I'm resting on it with my soul's salvation. Not a mite was left unpaid when he my judgment bore. He says, I believe it, and I am saved, and I am going to heaven. What about you tonight, dear soul? Not a mite was left unpaid. He cried, it is finished. He settled forever sin's tremendous claim, provided salvation in his death upon the tree. He was buried. Tender hands took him down from the cross. The place to be yonder too. He was raised by the power of God. The man we preach tonight has been received into glory. And occupies the highest place in heaven. But now, how could I be saved? Salvation provided. Let me tell you, all the work is done. You are the sinner. I am the sinner. I want to tell you very kindly, I was enjoying those words this morning. Adore him, adore him. The glorious work is done. The Father will not punish me. It was laid upon his son. How can you be saved tonight? Without movement of hand, without excitement of any kind, I take the guilty sinner's place, and I accept the great salvation that Christ died for the ungodly. What about it tonight, dear soul? The arms of love are outstretched. Savior says, come unto me, All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The poet has penned the words, look at my hands and see. I bore the nails for thee. I died to set thee free. Come and believe. Tonight, dear soul, the invitation is, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I have a message from God unto thee. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Let me ask you, have you been saved? If not, I would beg of you tonight to take the guilty sinner's place. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe on Him. Pass from death unto life. Then will your joyous answer be saved for a long eternity. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He has saved many sinners as He saved you tonight. He will. Only trust Him. Only trust Him. Only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you.